Hey, I'm Dustin.
And I'm Steve, and you're listening to the 50th episode of the Wedding Photo Hangover Podcast. That's right, listeners. Is this an important episode? I feel like it's important.
It's like
Dustin.
Our birthday. It's like our birthday, Steven.
It's almost like our birthday, except we put out an episode every week, and 52 would be our birthday then. Yeah. 52 weeks in a year. Now we're messed up.
That really just put a damper on the whole... Hold on. Put the balloons away, guys. Balloons, champagne back in the fridge. Oh, my goodness. I'm so sorry, Steve. 50 still feels like it's a big, good thing, though.
Landmark episode, the 50th episode. We are the Wedding Photo Hangover Podcast, an irreverent look at wedding photography. This podcast, like aspirin, will help you recover from your wedding hangover or from the disappointment of thinking you've been doing this for 1 year when it's only been 11 months. 11 and a half months.
That's just how much we give, Steve. We put 1 year into 11 months.
So, Dustin, how do you feel on this, our 50th episode? You got anything special planned?
Right now, I am currently editing a real estate photo shoot from earlier today.
No, I meant anything special planned for the episode.
Oh, episode? Yeah, I've got so much planned, Steve. I've got games. I've got like whirly-durlies. I've got some rollerblades in the backseat. It's going to be a party.
So we thought that since this is a 50th episode, and that's kind of a landmark episode, that we could just phone this one in, and it's going to be a clip episode. We're going to re-hit all your favorite hits. Come on, Dustin, roll those clips. What you got for me?
Steve, are you going to fly your drone ever?
Wow, that was hurtful. I've flown that drone, Dustin. You were supposed to play a clip, not just berate me.
Oh, it's kind of the same thing.
Do you want to get to the show? You want to do some follow-up trademark John Siracusa?
John Siracusa.
In our wedding hangover Facebook group, a secret group, Mark Quinn had a response. Lori Ostrowski was responding to our most recent episode, well, two episodes ago now when you're hearing this, about the dollar dance, to which Mark Quinn responded, WTF is a dollar dance. Dustin, what's a dollar dance? WTF a dollar dance?
Dollar dance, Steven, that's a great question. So a dollar dance is a long-standing tradition where a male or female enters a strip club for exotic entertainment, where he then shakes a dollar at someone dancing and they have to dance for him. Somehow that same exotic strip
club. But they
club
actually
type...
have to dance like a dollar being shaken, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so there's a dollar being shaken and there's a stripper dancing like a dollar being shaken. It's like a mirror thing.
Some confuse it with the shaking of a salt shaker.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And somehow that long-standing tradition of strip clubbing has made its way to weddings. And I'm not sure how, but the passing on of a dollar to the bride or the groom thus entitles you to them entertaining you for a few moments at their wedding by dancing with you. Unfortunately, they don't remove their clothes quite
the way.
Oh, that's
not true. I've seen a lot of brides remove their clothes at weddings.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of times the groom gets right up in there and just like starts taking their clothes off. And they like throw the clothes to like a bunch of guys.
Well, you photograph some different weddings than I do. We keep it classy here in Fort Wayne.
For those who don't know what I was getting at, I was talking about the garter toss, but...
Yeah, that because the singular garter represents her ripping off all of her clothing.
That's basically what a wedding is, right? Wasn't there like an old wedding tradition where you actually had to consummate the marriage before it was considered a real marriage? So like the bride and groom would go into a back room and consummate the marriage like as soon as the ceremony was over?
That is a Elkhart thing, I believe.
An Elkhart thing?
Yeah.
Why you got to go back to the land, which I grew up near?
That's definitely an Elkhart thing.
That's all right. I grew up in Goshen, so I'm all good.
Hoity-toity Goshen.
So we pretty much got the dollar dance covered there then? It's a way to get the bride and the groom to take their clothes off at the wedding.
Yeah, there's either going to be some people get a couple chuckles out of this or people that are going to be very confused.
Do you want to clear it up for real?
So yeah, it's just essentially, for some reason, people find the need to give the couple money, and they have figured out a way to do that by doing a what they call a dollar dance.
This is on top of the money you're already giving them in envelopes as a guest.
Yes. And traditionally, I think that money that you give them at the dollar dance is to help them with like their honeymoon or whatever.
You got to get those street tacos in Mexico.
Street tacos and Coronas.
And no fear of food poisoning there.
None at all.
But much like a stripper's dance, like what you were talking about earlier, Dustin, when you do go up to give them the dollar in the dollar dance, you just stuff it right into their underwear, right?
Guys,
it's the pants. Girls, it's the bra line area.
Yeah, for certain. But we've seen this tradition kind of fading out, so we'll see if it holds strong or not.
Dustin, do you want to move into beer talk? What are you celebrating our 50th episode with tonight, Dustin?
I have a very expensive bottle of Essentia.
It's got electrolytes and shit.
Yeah, it's an ionized hydration beverage with 9.5 pH. So this would be rich people water is what I'm drinking tonight.
Ooh, very nice. Way to go.
Yeah. Got the only the best for this podcast episode.
Well, Dustin, tonight, thank you so much for asking.
I didn't ask, Steve.
I'm drinking a very special beer. This one comes straight from Scarlet Lane, which we've talked about recently. And it is Eric Bloodaxe, which you may have heard me talk about before.
I don't think I've heard of that one.
This isn't just any Eric Bloodaxe. Eric Bloodaxe
being the bloodiest axe.
What I consider to be the greatest beer brewed in all of Indiana. Yeah, suck it, Three Floyds fans. I said it. Eric Bloodaxe, and it's the bourbon barrel aged version of Eric Bloodaxe.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to save that for me.
Yeah, that's not happening. I already told you. What are my two favorite things in the world?
Eric Bloodaxe and bourbon barrel aged beer. Drinking beer with Dustin.
I'm not saving it for you. It's going to skunk by the time you're drinking again. You have 5 more months of not drinking alcohol, you said.
Yeah. I'm going to break that fast next weekend, though, because it's our only weekend off between now and then.
So right now on the podcast session, I'm going to take a sip of this.
Do
you ready for this?
Is this
ready
for sip? This is the inaugural sip.
Inaugural sips. That was disgusting. Why did you do that with your mouth? You know I have to edit this. I'm going to have to listen to that like 20 times in a row. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Whatever Dustin's mouth sound sounded like to you, probably like two frogs performing fellatio on each other. I want to assure you that this beer is the opposite of that. It is delicious. It's like sugary and sweet, but not like too sugary and sweet. And it's got that good Braggot mead sort of flavor going for it. This might be the greatest beer I've ever tasted in my life, Dustin.
Better than Eric Bloodaxe?
Braggot IPA. I mean, it's still Eric Bloodaxe. That's the beauty of it. I don't have to cheat on Eric when I drink this.
Oh, Eric.
Dustin. Wow, this is so good. I might start taking my clothes off. Be a real dollar dance up in here, buddy. No, my friend, who I talked about last time, who's a brewer there, came over to visit, and he brought this Eric Bloodaxe Bourbon Barrel Aged Braggot IPA for me, because he knows that I love Eric Bloodaxe, and he knows that I love Bourbon Barrel Aged beers. And he actually set it aside because they're about to sell out. So this is like the greatest thing of all, because not only is it one of the greatest beers I've ever tasted, it's also a gift. There's nothing quite like the deliciousness of drinking a gift. Like Dustin's tears.
My tears are tasty.
Dustin, do we want to move into topics?
Hold on, let me think about it.
That sounds like a yes.
Sure.
Dustin, first up on our topics, we're talking about your new look with your photos, a topic you told me you didn't want to talk about. But it's our 50th anniversary episode, right?
I threw anniversary in there. I shouldn't have. I just don't see how it's really a topic. I don't see how it's really a thing, but
Dustin,
you know,
have these real.
If you have an interpretation that's different from mine,
Dustin, you used to have these real dark, dank greens, real dank foresty greens in your photos.
And
recently, you posted some photos where you have like these pale greens. And I was wondering what was going on there because it's a completely new look for you.
Don't think it is, Stephen. I think what you're confusing here is we've been delivering the same editing style now for going on 2 years. And the only difference is when I post to social media, sometimes I will...
Are you putting Instagram filters on your photos?
Not directly.
Dustin.
I will edit the photo myself.
Dustin. You're putting Instagram filters on your photos.
Let's call them Insta fun filters.
A wee bit of whimsy. Insta fun.
Insta fun.
Doesn't now this isn't true because you told me that the photos I was specifically pointing out to you. You allowed somebody else to edit them other than the editing company you typically use, which you also were upset with because they're very passive aggressive and mean to you recently.
Yes.
Yeah. So you switched things up a little bit. You got a new editing company you're going with, or what is this?
It's called Lillian Intern.
Is that the name of the editing company? Lillian Intern? I haven't heard of that one.
You should try it out. It's lillianintern.org/Dustin/promo/forward/wedding photo hangover podcast.
/ That sounds like a reach around.
Mm.
Reach that's, around Dustin, reach around
that's
photo.
Part of our. That's part of the premium package. No, but in all honesty, we've had our interns start editing a few of our smaller, we've done a couple of mini sessions with some of our engaged couples, and we've started to let her kind of edit a few of those, and it's been super helpful just to get things out the door a lot faster and stay on top of things in this super busy season that I'm sure a lot of you out there are experiencing. Not all of us have a bespoke tone in our backyard.
So, are you happy with her new editing style for you?
The editing style itself is consistent with what we do. I don't
really
always...
because if it was, I wouldn't have been talking to you about the new look of your greens, and you wouldn't have told me that the two photos I specifically picked out were both photos she had edited. So, are you happy with the way she's editing them? I don't think it's a bad look. I just was curious because it was different than what you typically put out.
Well, because she's posting photos directly from Lightroom, whereas when I'm posting something, 90% of the time it's coming from Lightroom, and then I'm editing it further in Photoshop to just refine it a little bit more.
To get those dank greens, so you can roll that photo up and really just smoke it.
Mm. I don't know what these dank greens you're speaking of. I've had one photo that comes to my mind that the greens were really dark.
It's just these are much lighter greens than I'm used to seeing from you. It almost is to the point where it doesn't even look like green anymore.
That's because it's summer, man. Summer green. Summer green.
Is this a song you're writing on the spot? Dustin, I'm cool with this. I love that you're putting somebody to work, somebody who's not getting paid, somebody who's doing it all for free. I don't know what you would call that, somebody who works but doesn't get paid for it, but they're doing a great job.
Whoa. Who said our intern wasn't getting paid?
You did to me.
No, she's getting paid.
College credits are not, it's money.
She's not getting college credits. She's
getting paid. She's not getting college credits anymore? You told me when she first started that she was getting college credits, which typically in Indiana, as somebody who had to go through the whole internship thing, if you're getting college credits, you're typically not allowed to be paid.
I might have told you that we were going to talk about doing college credits, but I think at the point in which we finalized everything, it was too late to pursue that.
Ah, cool. Cool. Well, that makes me feel much better about this whole arrangement you have going on.
Yeah.
Before, I thought you were profiting off of a young student just trying to pass college.
No.
Get their degree.
We're doing her wedding in December, and she's essentially working off her wedding bill.
Oh, so she's an indentured servant. Got it.
There you go. She's our favorite indentured servant.
Didn't you have a wedding videographer whose wedding you shot, and then he edited a bunch of weddings for you for free? Kind of the same thing as an indentured servant.
We had a wedding videographer that shot some weddings in trade for us shooting his wedding. Yeah.
So you're all about that indentured servant model?
No, I'm about helping others out if they have a service that benefits what we do. And I can help them in trade by doing what it is we do. I'm all about helping people. People helping people, Steve. It's what it's all about. Sometimes there's things more important than money.
I love to hear it, Dustin. I love to hear about you helping people.
Just love it when you help me, Steve.
So what is this Kickstarter thing? Magbox, Magshoe that you want to talk about?
So last week or the week before, you and I talked a little bit about how you do so much incredible off-camera flash stuff around nighttime.
Thank you so much, Dustin.
With your couples. And I remember asking you if you were using any kind of a modifier, and you were like, no, I go bareback all the time. I mean, bare bulb. I mean, just flash.
Bare balls, I think is what you're trying to say. Yeah.
Yep. And
that's the only way to skinny dip, buddy.
So we don't do that. We use a Westcott Rapid Box, which is a little portable soft box, but it's not what I want. It's not the portability that I need. And it's doggone portable. I mean, it's really good, but it's still not as fast as I would like. And I've always been a huge fan of the things that the company MagMod has been doing with using magnetized filters and modifiers for flashes.
Magnets. How do they work?
Using centripetal force. and physics. Get some. And
just ICP, bud.
For those of you out there who don't know what MagMod is, they started off by doing just like these like gel filter things that would magnetize to the top of your flash so that you weren't like clipping them in or Velcroing them in or taping them on. And then the product line sort of expanded to like grids and, you know, those big jelly balloon things. Mm-hmm. Totally probably infringes on Gary Fong's copyright, but whatever.
It'd be a patent, not a copyright.
Patent. Sorry, I got distracted by our next topic.
So if it's not patented, then yeah, he'd be straight out of luck.
So yeah, and anyways, but all of their products were always kind of directed off the someone who really wanted harsher light. In Corinne and I's style, when we want to bring out artificial lighting, is traditionally we want a very soft light source, which is really hard to accomplish in a small portable like system until now.
Mm-hmm.
MagMod has released their first magnetized miniature super portable softbox, and we're really excited. I already pre-ordered it on Kickstarter. And which I don't even really know why they need to use Kickstarter as a platform since they take a cut. I think MagMod has enough of its own supporters that they could have just launched a pre-order type thing on their website and been just fine. But maybe there's some sort of liability they kind of skate around by doing it this way.
Yeah.
What do you what are your thoughts on this product?
There's enough miracles here to blow your brains. I'd say it's basically magic, just like music. You can't even hold it.
Or can you?
It looks very interesting to me.
Yeah, so...
But, I mean, it looks like... What are all the things? The Kickstarter things that they're giving it away with? It's all like strobe kits. Does it work with... Works with Profoto, yeah, so Palsy, Buff Strobes.
Yeah, so the cool thing is you can...
I'm not seeing Canon flashes on here, and all I use are Canons, buddy. I'd have to buy like a whole new flash set just to use this. So
no,
won't use it.
It comes standard to fit any normal rectangular flash. But then if you also want to use it with your strobes or other products that are not flashes, you can swap out the plate to fit that.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's very versatile. And the cool thing is for anyone who's interested in shooting in like broad daylight and overpowering the sun, you can actually hook two flashes to it without any additional accessories or whatnot. So what we're probably going to do is buy like two dedicated flashes just for this that'll stay with it, like two young Nuos, mm-hmm. and just keep them like all together on wedding days, or else, knowing my laziness, I won't ever get it out.
Nice. I love your laziness.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a real credit to the community. Everybody looks up to you. They're just like, how could I be as lazy as Dustin?
Yep. That's what it's all about, Steve. That's what we're here for. Teaching you how to work smarter, not harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I get it.
So yeah, we'll drop a link to this in the show notes, and we'll throw it on our secret Facebook group so you guys can take a peek at it, see what you think. See if I wasted way too much money on it, because I'm sure it's really more expensive.
What option did you buy in it?
Oh, probably the platinum premium, knowing me.
I like that with BagMod, it's safe to assume the product will actually ship, because they're right. A company that exists that's already out there. It's not like those other things, like everything else you've invested in on Kickstarter that has not shipped to you. You ever get that coolest cooler, buddy?
Coolest cooler, baby. No. No, my in-laws made fun of me on the 4th of July because they came over and I was getting a cooler together to go to a cookout. And they're like, oh, is that coolest cooler? Where the MP3 player goes?
We brought all of our margarita mixes over and MP3s. To you could hook them into your cooler and we could all listen, and you're like, nah, I don't got that. Also, you can't hear the MP3s playing when the blender's going to make the margaritas.
Yep. So to answer your question, I got the MagBox Pro Kit Early Bird.
Nice.
So it was $440. Came with the OctaBox. Came with the focus diffuser, came with the gels, which is really cool that comes with its own set of gels, and came with the traveling case. And yeah, really, I was just paying a lot extra for the case because the case is pretty baller. The case they made for it fits it and all the accessories and two flashes. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of a sucker for cases.
It sounds like a great product.
Yeah, and if you look at some of the sample photos on the Kickstarter, like, they're pretty impressive. Considering, like, you know, it's something you would expect, like, a much larger light source to create. But, I'm excited to try it. I'm excited to play around with it. I'm sure we'll post up a video or something once we get it. Maybe Steve and I will do a little headshot action of each other.
Maybe. Would you say that you've opened your mind and there ain't no way to ignore the miracles of every day when you look at this MagMod stuff?
I have no idea where you're going with all. Let's move on.
Do you see miracles all around you when you stop and look around? Are they astounding?
So Steve brought a really fun and interesting topic to the podcast that interests me because I'm a lover of the law and all things legal. Would you like to tell us about this, Steven?
So this week, I saw one of the craziest things that has happened in the United States of America regarding photography.
And there's been a lot of crazy things happen.
Most of those don't involve photography. They involve other things that we're not going to get into on this podcast.
Okay.
Because nobody wants to hear me just go get drunk and, you know, talk about how much I hate the political situation of the day. All right. The All case right. Brammer v. Violent Hughes Productions, LLC. Court rules that photographs are factual depictions and that copying them is fair use. In an Eastern District of Virginia, a judge said that photographs are factual depictions and copying them is fair use. I mean, what else is there to say? It's basically everything we've known about copyright laws in this country. This judge was just like, yeah, they don't exist, and just went the other way with it. This is the most ridiculous ruling I've ever seen from a judge in America.
In America?
Yeah. I mean, that's not true. We've seen a lot of ridiculous things, right? But regarding photography, this is probably the most ridiculous thing I've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what else to say about it other than it's basically like,
well, hey, explain the situation, Steve. Explain the scenario so that people can better understand what how ludicrous this is.
Okay, so plaintiff takes a time-lapse photograph of Washington, D.C. neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Defendant, who operates the Northern Virginia Film Festival, copies the photo off the internet, crops it, and places it on its website to illustrate things to do in the D.C. area. Plaintiff sends a cease and desist letter. Defendant removes the photograph from the website. Plaintiff sues the for copyright infringement, and defendant claims fair use. And then a judge said it's a factual depiction, so you can't claim copyright over it.
Yeah, it's bananas.
Yeah.
I just, you know, this is going to get overturned.
This time-lapse photograph that I shot, something that took, thought, pre-planning, it's probably got some, I've not seen the picture, but it's probably got like some cool light streaks from like people driving or whatever. That's not a factual depiction. Like, that's an artist's view of the thing. Like, you can't just go out and see his photograph with your eyes any time of the day or night. Like, and even if you could, you can't crop it the same. You can't frame it the same. Ah, this is so frustrating to me, Dustin.
I know, Steve. I know.
And yeah, it's like there's nothing we can really say to help anybody out, because what it comes down to is, I guess, don't live in Virginia.
Well, what the article said, though, is that, this could influence other court cases.
Yeah. I mean, that's how all court cases work. Every court case has the potential to influence other court cases. That's how
they
build.
Yeah, but there are certain courts that are taken with, higher esteem and higher prestige. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like this was one of those.
Yeah. So then another court case in some other place in the country could cite this court case, because this is a federal judiciary. This is not like a, your small town like court. So
right.
This is talking about federal laws and stuff. So
if there was like a film festival in Fort Wayne and someone stole one of my photos for promotion on it, to be super literal. And then, someone's like, well, hey, this guy in Virginia did the same thing. And that judge was like, that was fine. The judge here could be like, oh, okay, that must be fine.
Yep. That's exactly how it works. I don't get how the judge said that it was a factual depiction, because there's so many cases that have ruled in favor of the copyright owner and said that they're not factual depictions. Like, it is utterly ridiculous to me that the judge came to this place.
Mm. It's interesting. Copyright law has always been a very fascinating subject to me.
Yeah, but I mean, it says that it's taken an artistic photograph and it's placed it in an allegedly informational context. So it's a transformative use, not a copyright infringement.
Right. They're claiming that since it's on a section of the website that's meant to inform, that he isn't monetizing on the photograph. Therefore, it's fair use, which totally negates everything about copyright. Like, what if this guy doesn't support this film festival and doesn't want his image associated with it? He has the right to not allow that.
It's just utterly ridiculous. Like,
and at the end of the day, that guy was just stealing it.
Yep. 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 Yep.
I mean, it's one thing when, it's just you and me, Steve, and we're like stealing people's fireworks photos to Photoshop them into our wedding photos.
Is that what you did for your fireworks photo that you posted on Instagram? Is that what you're trying? Is this a confession, Dustin?
Steven.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're here for the first ever segment. Dustin McKibben. Confessionals.
Father Van Elk.
Yes, my son.
Does that make you feel weird when I say Father Van Elk?
No, my son. Dustin, what sins have you come to confess today?
I like to Photoshop fireworks, Father.
Were they your fireworks?
Are they ever?
Wait, did you actually Photoshop somebody else's photo of fireworks? Or was it just your photo of fireworks that you Photoshopped into the photo? Because you took that photo during a grand finale, because there's like 20 fireworks going off. Okay, I'm exaggerating wildly. Or you Photoshopped different fireworks into the photo. Yeah, fake news.
I Photoshopped those fireworks into the photo. No, I do not steal. I bought a pack of fireworks that are like all shot on black so that it's much easier to Photoshop them in.
So I might be fake news, but Dustin's fake pictures.
All the time, baby. Skies and fireworks. Don't
just
trust them.
A bunch of Photoshopping. All right, Dustin, do you want to move on to Q&A?
Sure, Steven. Bring it.
Let's do some Q&A.
But Steve.
The first question comes straight from our Facebook group, Adam Sachs. Thank you, Adam, for writing in. I just had a 3-wedding long weekend, and I came across a problem I've had a couple of times before. Scenario. First wedding. Dinner's buffet style, and I overeat while scarfing down my meal to not miss any speeches. Brownie face.
Been there.
Get home late, charge batteries, dump cards, go to bed. Second wedding, next day. Wake up with less time than I planned. Rush getting ready and grabbing gear. Head to the second wedding's bride or groom getting ready portion. Then, bam, bam, 30 or 40 minutes in, I gotta take a dump. Frowny face again.
So it's not like bam, it's more like bam.
Yeah. Last night's meal worked its way through and the timing is horrible. What do you do? Stink up the bridal suite or bride's parents' bathroom, excuse yourself and head to the nearest coffee shop, or turtle head it for like half a day until you really have a free moment to let her rip. The struggle is real. Dustin.
I typically do the last one there.
You turtle head all day.
All day.
Then you go home and you just have a giant brown smear on the inside of your clothes?
It's called being a professional, Steve.
You know, that poop that is turtle heading all day, it smells, Dustin.
Yeah.
All day.
Sometimes you just go in with scissors and you cut the head off.
You would go in with scissors and cut the head of the poop off, but you would just sit down on a toilet.
That sounds like a woozy.
Oh, Dustin, you're the light of my life tonight, buddy. I'm loving this. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm loving it.
What
would you do,
have
Steve?
You ever Dustin, we all know the answer to this. I mean, Jen already answered below. I think Jen even came on a previous podcast episode and
talked about this.
Yeah.
I was trying to find the episode so I could reference it and actually share it with them. But yeah, I know that
it's
Steve
like episode 17 or something. No, I have no control over my bodily functions when it comes to that. Jen thinks I have IBS. No doctor has ever diagnosed me with that.
That stands for insane brain syndrome, for those out there that don't know
insane
that.
Insane in the membrane. I would have to make the time to, you know, take the dump. It's not even a question for me. It's got to happen. And it has happened before at weddings. So there's a cool product that my wife, Jennifer, actually mentioned in the thing. It's called Poopery. And it's like a little bottle you can bring with you to weddings if something like this happens to you.
Do you really do this? Do you really do this, Steven?
Yeah, Jen keeps it like in the photo bag, or at least she used to. It's been a while since, something like this has happened.
Classic.
But it's like a little thing you squirt into the toilet bowl before you poop. And then when you poop, it locks the scent in, or at least that's what it claims to do. As somebody who's actually used this before, I feel pretty safe in telling you what it really does is it makes the restroom smell like grapefruit and poop. Yeah. It doesn't actually lock the scent in. It just adds a very strong grapefruit smell to the restroom. So now instead of just a poop smell, it's a grapefruit and poop smell, which is somebody who does not like grapefruit at all. That just makes the situation worse for me. But Jen says it's so much better. So.
Interesting. Yeah, we bought a bottle of it because for the longest time when my in-laws would come over, my mother-in-law would just destroy our bathroom. I don't know what it is about when...
Why are you talking about Corinne's parents like this?
Because it's a problem in our marriage when my wife's mother comes over and just destroys our bathroom.
And if she said goodbye to you tonight, would there still be songs left to write?
You are on a roll with this poetry.
Oh, these are song lyrics, Dustin. There's just songs that I know. And, you know, Miracles by the Insane Clown Posse and Longest Time by Billy Joel. Those are songs I know.
Are you listening to music without me?
Yeah, right now. Why do you think I have headphones on? I'm not listening to you. I'm reading your lips while we do this thing. That's why we do a video call.
Bacon.
I like bacon,
but yeah,
too.
So on a wedding day, I hold it in all day if I can. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like something about my body. It's like I go into worker bee mode and it's like all bodily functions that are not necessary to my eyes and my hands and my head are turned off. Even sometimes my legs. But I try to keep those ones on.
I don't have that ability. I have, on the way to an engagement shoot, felt the need, and I have stopped off at a coffee shop and just texted the couple and said, like, hey, I'm gonna be like 5 minutes late. Traffic.
Oh, there was a construction problem.
Traffic in the Starbucks restroom. There's like three guys ahead of me. They're all doing the same thing. They texted their couples. Beth from the Facebook groups.
Yes. Hi, Beth.
I'm asking here because this is the largest photography related group I'm in. And I need the collective mind. My best friend's son is a senior this year, and she wants senior pictures, which I'm more than willing to do for her. The problem is that he's been through some pretty serious emotional and behavioral issues and now has literally no interests. No sports, no hobbies, no activities, nothing. I need ideas other than just generic senior guy posing in random places. He's worked really hard to overcome his issues, and I know someday he'll look back at this time, and I don't want him to be ashamed of how generic his pictures are. In comparison, his younger brother and sister have 100 interests, and their upcoming photos will be much more personal. His mother and I have scoured Pinterest and Google and can't find any decent inspiration. Anyone have this situation before? I mean, I'm perfectly confident in my ability to capture, pose, light him, and show his personality. I've known him his whole life, and I have lots of pretty decent places that I like to shoot. I just don't know how to make it personal when he has absolutely no interest at all. Any help out there?
Well, I think this is a pretty no-brainer. You have until the time of the session to get him interested in as many hobbies things as possible. In fact, I would just make the photo shoot a whole series of him doing new things.
It's just a series of him filling out sign-up forms to participate in new hobbies and events.
Like him at a Scrabble tournament. And here's him like at a tic-tac-toe championship. And this is him knitting. You know, like, I think that would be kind of entertaining.
I think that'd be super entertaining, Dustin.
In fact, if I could go back and redo my senior pictures, that is what I would do.
What'd you do for your senior pictures, buddy?
So my senior pictures were right at the epitome of me getting into photography. And so that made me feel this need to really go over the top with my senior photos. And so I went to like the fanciest schmancy senior photo studio in town. And I did like a whole 2-hour session. And yeah, I didn't do anything with like a flaming football or any of that crap. But I just did like me looking pretty.
Very nice. You are very pretty. So
generic, as she said. Yeah, I paid the extra for the outdoor location, which is where they just take you outside their building and let you like do a few photos in their alleyway. And yeah, they were all like really terrible because it was like not very sunny that day. So it was, and they didn't like bring any lights out or anything. And this is back when they were shooting on like the first digital DSLR. I think it was like a Fuji, you know, Micro Four Thirds.
Very nice.
I don't know why that matters. I'm just recollecting. But yeah, I got some good ones.
Cool.
Helped me win my wife over. So.
You literally brought headshots over to her? Were you auditioning for the part of her boyfriend?
Yeah, I brought her to my senior session.
Oh my gosh. Oh gosh, there's not enough Eric Blood Axe Bourbon Barrel Aged Beer here. I need to get so drunk to erase all this from my memory.
How were your senior photos, Steve? What were you doing? Were you holding like a Super 8 camera? Were you... I don't know much about your childhood. Were you in sports? You don't strike me as an athlete.
I played traveling,
swimmer.
Weren't
traveling you a swimmer?
Soccer like all throughout my childhood. And then in high school, I quit the soccer team after 1 year. And then I did cross country in the fall. And I did swimming in the winter.
Swimming. Yeah. See, I knew the swimming.
So of my senior photos were just shots of me in a Speedo. Check it out.
That's
Look at these nuts.
That's how you won over your wife.
No, she's never seen those photos. They all had photoshopped at the bottom, look at these nuts, and I was pointing at my nuts in every single one. So, yeah, they actually don't get a lot of play anymore. They didn't get a lot of play back then either. Most people were like grape smugglers.
The funny part of the photo is at the bottom, cropped out of the photo, there's actually a bag of almonds. But you can't see the bag of almonds because of the cropped photo.
Well, that was the only way I could get my mom to take the pictures because she did all my senior photos.
Did she really?
Okay, that part of the story is true. My mom was, last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago now for the listeners, I talked about how my mom doesn't believe in buying anything unless it's on a sale or very, very cheap. And she couldn't find anybody who was on sale or very, very cheap around the time of my senior photos. And she decided that she could just do them herself, and they were not good, but they did capture my personality. I think the best one, we were at like a park, and I was like, "Mom, I'm really sick of these. I'm gonna get on this little child's as one of those like horses on a spring thing, you know, that like rocks back and forth." And I was like, "I'm just gonna play on this," and then she took a photo on that of me. And you know how like at the end of the school year, you're like, "Hey, I have all these photos. They're wallet sized or whatever." Does anybody want one? Yeah. So I had like that photo of me on the little horse thing and then like two like normal photos of me, and everybody wanted the photo of me on the horse. And I was like, "Mom, we're going to have to order new ones because this is what the people want. They want to see Steve's personality." And then I flipped it over to the backside and I was like, "And you can also sign up for my super secret special photos of me in a Speedo that say D's nuts." Nobody picked those. That's real disappointing.
Sorry, man.
You know, but to get back to best question, I would say that, you know, he is a high school senior, and there's one thing that every high school boy's into.
Sex.
Yes, that's right, Dustin. So just get a bunch of photos of him looking at his computer screen or his tablet or his phone in like a really dark room. It's going to be classy because you're not doing child pornography here. So it's just like a picture of his face glowing in the light of his tablet. And maybe there's like a bottle of lotion somewhere in the background.
It's terrible.
That is terrible. And it's supposed to be terrible. Everybody has interests. You can't say he doesn't have interests. He has interests. He just doesn't feel comfortable sharing them with you. And that is sad. And that is a challenge to overcome. Especially if he doesn't feel comfortable sharing his interests with his mom either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you just got to find out what he's into and then, you know, take a photo of him with like some cardboard cutouts of like some babes in bikinis or some dudes in Speedos. You know, he's probably interested in one of those things. Maybe.
I give this photographer credit, though, for really trying to go out of her way to make each senior session completely personality driven.
I mean, yeah. I would also say that is true. She's definitely going out of her way. I think she's more going out of her way because it's her her friend's kid than necessarily just any kid. I think most other kids, you're like, we'll get a picture of them in their letter jacket. We'll get a picture of them with their tennis racket. Oh, he's into baseball? We'll get a picture of him with his baseball. Oh, he's into magic? He has no interests. I don't know what to do. He likes Pokemon? What is that? No interests. He went to a furry convention last? No interests.
He's into podcasting? No interests.
He vapes all the time? No interests.
Oh.
His whole room is littered with cannabis paraphernalia? No interests.
Yeah, there you go.
Just get some real great photos of him with bloodshot eyes. Maybe hotboxing his room out. It's like a bunch of dryer sheets stuffed under the crack of the door.
So Lisa from the Facebook groups.
You don't want to talk more about what high schoolers do?
What would be a good price for doing a wedding that includes pictures during the rehearsal? Hair, makeup, wedding, and after. Then unlimited pics edited. I'm wondering because I gave a low price and was asked to go lower. I did it for experience, but now after sending 200 edited pictures, she is still asking for other poses. Where's this one or that one? I don't really know how to address this. Please, any ideas are welcome. Steven.
Oh, Lisa, you find yourself in a real tough spot. Because unlimited pics edited means she could literally say she wants every single photo from the day. So I think you just got to give them all to her. just bring them into Lightroom, slap your preset on them, and send them over. Don't worry about the exposure. Don't worry about the white balance, anything like that. Just be like, well, and I'm done with this one.
Owning it in.
Then put your sunglasses on, grab your vape.
Grab your vape.
And, you know, just have a little fun. Get high. Steve and Dustin do not endorse getting high if anybody from the government is listening to our podcast. Except we do.
Do we?
What? No, we don't. We do.
Do we?
No, Dustin. No, we do.
Do we?
Damn it, Dustin. Oh, man. I think if you did it for the experience at a low price and she's asking you for 200 edited pics, like, that's a real tough spot to be in. Maybe just send her back 100 pics. And you take back the 200 pics, then send her back 100 pics from the 200 you already sent her and be like, now is that enough? And just keep trying to play it lower and lower.
And when she says, send more, and you send her back 50 pictures, what do you think about these?
Be like, I can keep doing this all day. She's going to stop asking for more real fast.
Yeah, I'd like to start a side photo studio where I'm just a complete a-hole to people like that. Kind of like some sort of Ashton Kutcher gotcha type thing.
I believe it was called Punked.
Punked. Yeah. But it's not actually punking them because it'll be real.
Reeled.
Real. You just got reeled.
With Dustin McKibben.
You thought we were going to show up to your wedding? Ha! You just got reeled.
You thought we'd show up to your wedding for $50 with no contract? You just got reeled.
Thanks for the 50. Steven, it's been fun. It's been a blast, my friend. 50 looks good on you.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I'm going a little silver and I'm losing some hair up top, so it really means a lot that you'd say that to me.
What I'm here for, man. I'm just here to keep your, confidence up.
What's wrong with being confident, right? Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wedding Photo Hangover Podcast with your hosts, Dustin and Steve. If you've been listening for a while and you want to help us out, jump on iTunes or Stitcher and leave us a 5-star review. And only say nice things about me. Don't worry about Dustin. He's cool. He doesn't need the confidence. I do. If you want to connect online, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Wedding Photo Hangover or on Twitter at WedPick Hangover. You can find Dustin on Instagram at Dustin_McKibben. And you can find Steve at Steven Van Elk. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Your head is pounding, your limbs feel like dead weight, and your entire being is aching for this sweet embrace of death. That's right, next Sunday, after you shoot another wedding.
Did you have a wedding this weekend?
This weekend?
Yeah.
This weekend?
This weekend?
Nah, son.
Is that two weekends off in a row?
Yeah.
Jeez. You're like part-time, man.
You're real busy end of May, beginning of June, and then like most of June and July, we don't get a lot of weddings. Most of our weddings are people who want to shoot outside, and not a lot of people want to get married outside in Indiana in July because it's like 98 to 105. It's like 98 degrees to 105 degrees every day, and it's super humid.
That's because people see me, Steve, and they're like, man, that guy, he's got the body of someone that can handle an outdoor ceremony.
He's got the body of somebody who really needs a good sweat.
Yeah.
I'm going to put him to work.
I'm sure if we put him outside and we put a towel under him, we can probably drink the rest of the evening off that towel.
Oh, so you're going to get blitzed before the wedding? So they got some alcohol going?
No, I just naturally perspirate alcohol.
That's like a real disease where like you're drunk all the time.
Yeah, it's pretty much how I operate.
No, I'm not even joking right now. There's like a real thing where like your body just naturally turns all carbs you eat into alcohol. So you are literally like a functioning alcoholic all the time, because anytime you eat carbs, your body gets you drunk. So people get like pulled over who have this disease, and they will blow like 2-3 times over the legal limit, and they're still functioning like somebody who's like halfway to the legal limit, because like that's their normal. It's like a really
odd disease. An episode of like House.
I was reading about it because some lady got off. She got pulled over for drunk driving, and when she cited she had the disease, she got let off by the judge because she's able to function normally because that's how her body normally is. And it's like a medical condition. So she probably should have got a ticket for driving irresponsibly or whatever. But
I mean, I've gotten a ticket for getting in a car accident in the winter, and they said that's because we have to give you a ticket because you crashed in the snow. So no matter how fast you were going, even though I was going under the speed limit, I was going too fast for the weather conditions.
No.
So they had to give me a reckless driving ticket.
No, that's not real. That's just a Fort Wayne cop being...
This was in Pennsylvania.
Okay, so that makes more sense then. I was going to say, in Indiana, we don't have laws like that. And I'm sorry that I said cop to people out there who don't like to hear police officers called cops. I understand. I'll try to do better.
Is that a thing? People don't like cops?
Yeah, like cop originally was like a derogatory term. We're the most woke podcast out there. We're so woke.
Woke? What does woke mean?
It means, here, Dustin, quick, look at this photo of me in a Speedo and check out these nuts. Yeah.
I think it would be fun if you and I post on Instagram after this episode drops, each a photo from our senior pictures.
Oh, that would require me actually knowing where those photos are and finding them. You think I have access to those photos?
I'll
that
call
my
your mom
shot on her digital camera that was like half a megapixel for each photo?
Yeah. I'll call your mom. I'll get that photo of you on that horse thing.
If I had that, it would be all over the place, let's be honest.
She's got to have a print somewhere.
Somewhere. Maybe it's in my Google Photos. I could probably look it up.
I'm sure I could dig up one of mine. I think I still have a little notebook somewhere with all my senior photos in it from my modeling days.
Wait, you used to model?
In my mind.
Okay, Dustin. Dustin, are there any ridiculous TV shows you want to tell me about right now?
I am currently watching and addicted to Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's like 20-minute episodes in and out, and I'm done. trying to hold back from watching the newest season of 12 Monkeys. Have you ever seen that show?
Well, I've seen that movie. I don't know what that show is.
The show is a spinoff of the movie.
Weird. Is Brad Pitt in it? Is Bruce Willis in it?
No.
Then why would you watch it without that man meat in it, Dustin?
I've never actually seen the movie because I was told if I watched the movie, it would ruin the show.
My mouth is agape, listeners, because I can't understand that logic. It's the movie.
Because the movie is better than the show.
Okay, so then why even watch the show? Just watch the movie. It's got Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt.
The movie does.
You know what? If you want to watch a movie about time travel with Bruce Willis, just go ahead and watch Looper. That's a better movie, in my opinion, anyway.
I like the concept of 12 Monkeys, though.
Yeah.
Just saying, Steve. Just saying. What about you? You watching anything but soccer?
I've been watching a lot of soccer. I finally caught up on the podcast we did a promo swap with a while back, The Secret Life of Weddings. Mm-hmm. Finally, I got behind, and I finally binged my way back up to currency. I'm current again with The Secret Life of Weddings. It's a good one because people just write in their terrible, terrible wedding stories. And then they Lisa and Rebecca read them off. And it's fun to listen to Lisa and Rebecca read off these terrible wedding stories.
Is it?
Oh, it's very fun, Dustin. I enjoy it a lot.
The only podcast I listen to is the Wedding Photo Hangover Podcast, brought to you by Stephen, wait for it, Van Elk, and yours truly, the sultry tones of Mr. Dustin McKibben.
_ McKibben. That's your Instagram.
I wanted to just take a brief moment here at the tail end of our journey together on our 50th anniversary of recording Sweet Nothings, you and I, Stephen, and just say a special thank you. A special thank you to all the listeners out there in... Steven has officially drank too much Eric Blood Axe.
No, I'm just bored to death by you right now. Bored to death. This is a real Jason Schwartzman TV show.
Go in the other room.
Except that Jason Schwartzman's Bored to Death was actually funny and interesting, and I loved it. And listening to you is...
Anyways, I wanted to thank the... bulk of our listeners that seem to come from Mountain View, California. and I don't know anyone from...
No, this is all getting cut. Thanks so much. It was great to talk to you, Dustin, tonight. The bulk of our listeners that come from Mountain View, California, that is just Google finally indexing our podcast because they just created their own podcast, native podcast app. Just launched like last week, so... That's why there's suddenly a bunch of Mountain View things, because that's where Google is.
I know. I just assumed part of their training protocol was everyone had to listen to our podcast.
I would hope we'd get a lot more listens from Mountain View then.
Oh, it's funny you say that, because I had somebody DM me a couple days ago asking how they could listen to our podcast on a non-iPhone.
And you're like, Stitcher. Pocket Cast. And then Podcast Addict.
I was like, yeah, it's real
Google
easy.
Play.
Go buy an iPhone. That's what I said.
Gosh. You're not helping us out at all. And you're like, leave us a review on Stitcher.
Stitcher sounds a little dirty.
Our whole podcast is a little dirty.
No, it's pretty clean. Except for those nuts.
I had to actually... So I've been going through and like, I originally marked our entire podcast as explicit. And then recently I unmarked it because I was like, I've been editing out all the F words, you know? So
yeah.
I feel like it's not deserving of a blanket explicit. And then our last episode that we recorded together, because last week's episode was the one with Ben Hartley, for those who listen, our last episode we recorded together, like a real episode, as I like to call them. You said Harry came all over your face. And then that was like the running gag was us talking about Harry Kane as an exhibitionist on the soccer field.
Yes.
And so I had to mark that episode explicit. I had to actually go back in and mark it explicit because I was like, no child should listen to this.
Oh, that's okay. They love us in Germany.
All right. So real quick. Hey, Dustin, it's been great podcasting with you tonight. Have a great night. And then I'm going to cut that in before all the stuff about like you talking about Mountain View. Okay, cool. Now you say, hey, Steve, it's great podcasting with you too.
Hey, Steven, it was so great podcasting with you too. I love you, Steven, so very, very much.
Okay, you need to see an acting coach. That was terrible. Can we try again?
Okay.
Now, this time, I want you to approach the situation like maybe you had a real rough day at work. There's a bride who was just real angry with you, and then you got home, and Puppers, your brand new puppy that you had just bought.
Puppers.
He drowned in his own water bowl. He couldn't figure out how to drink out of it. Okay, now say thanks, Steven, for doing the podcast with me with that on your mind.
Thanks, Steve. I just don't know how I'd get through today without you, Steve. It's just been one of those days. Steve, thanks.
Pull yourself together, Dustin. Find your balls. Come on. It was just a puppy. And scene.
You just got reeled.
Good night, Dustin.
Good night, Steve. Bye.
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 Oh, gosh. No.
Gross, gross, gross.
Except we do. Wedding Photo Hangover is edited by Steve Van Elk from Bespoke Tone. You can hit up Bespoke Tone for all of your photo, video, or audio editing needs.
Woo-wee!